This is Braun Strowman, the monster among men. And you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast with your host.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I am honored, I'm beyond honored, to be joined by professional wrestler, former CZW Wired, ECWA Tag, and CZW Medal of Honor Champion, Mr. Frankie Picard. Frankie, thanks for a few minutes, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm coming from the gym. Exhausted. But how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. No, I appreciate a few minutes. I know you're working out, getting ready for Boardwalk Beatdown, man. We're totally stoked. I'm just like, you're the first ever professional wrestler to be on my podcast. Hopefully be many more. So it's a privilege, man. I appreciate it.
Okay, that's awesome.
I wanted to ask you, Frankie, you know, the origin story of Frankie Picard. Dude, tell us about your background, dude. Did you grow up being a pro wrestling fan? Did you always want to be a professional wrestler? How did it all start?
It all started as like my family, my dad and my mom. I didn't know anything about wrestling when I was like little. When wrestling came involved is when my dad was abusive.
Wow.
My mom.
Right.
So when my dad was abusive to my mom, and he, I was trying to protect my mom, so he abused me. So it wound up, I got taken away from my parent, and then I went to DHS.
No way.
So when I was in the service, when I was in DHS, they had TV time, and then at the time, it was like the first thing I was watching was Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, or Macho Man, Randy Savage, and then Ric Flair. So it was like, this is interesting. I was like intrigued to it. So every time, like every Saturday, I used to go and just watch it because it was like aired on regular TV sometimes.
Yeah.
I think Saturday main event type thing.
Yeah. Saturday main event. Sure, I remember. Yep.
Yeah. So at the time, it was like I caught interest. I loved watching wrestling. As I got older, I started like pushing away from it, but I was still watching it. So I was doing all different types of sports. I was playing baseball, playing basketball. I was doing gymnastics.
Nice.
So, yeah, so that was basically the story of my life. You know, my grandparents, they fought for me and they brought me back. So I was living with my grandparents. And then they helped take care of me. And then I used to watch wrestling all the time. And then my grandma was like, You know that's not real. You know, somebody would have been dead.
And then
I was so into it. And then it was like, my grandma was like, here goes the kill shot right there.
Yeah. That's crazy, though, man, that you turned like a net. And I'm sorry to hear that, man, like how it all started, man. But that's crazy. You turned like a negative into such a positive. That's really cool, man. Like, when did you decide, like, to start training? Or I don't even know how it works, man. When did you decide to kind of follow that career path?
Well, what got me like into it was I was a big fan of The Rock.
Nice.
The Rock, it caught my attention. Like, I loved his energy, his passion. I loved his drive. And I was like, man, I was like, this guy is pretty awesome. And then what really intrigued me and got me into wrestling was The Rock and Triple H feud.
Of course.
And, you know, those two back and forth was going on and on. And all that time I thought The Rock was going to win. And then here goes Triple H. He got the belt. He's still champion. I'm like, oh, I used to throw my remote to the TV. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But I had to, I was emotionally attached. So I was like, maybe I want to become a wrestler. So, I was always trying to find out how can I join WWE, how can I become a wrestler. And a friend of mine, he said that, hey, we're going to do this together because he was a big Undertaker fan. And, like, we was always talking about Undertaker and The Rock, and we knew each other since school. So he was like, all right. And then he was talking about, like, our way to CZW and Shikara. And I'm sitting there, it's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right, yeah.
Because I was always brought up, like, I thought WWE was just the main thing. And, like, how can I become, you know, a WWE superstar? But I never knew that there was indie.
Yeah.
I never knew different places. So my friend put me onto that. And then, it was like, okay, I was going to do that. But then it was like time. It pauses for a minute because I had kids. And then my kids got into wrestling, and they like to watch wrestling. And, hey, Dad,
nice.
Maybe you should do this. And I was like, okay. So I went and looked for, like, the closest training facility, and the only thing that came up, pop up first was Combat Zone Wrestling.
Okay.
So I went into their thing, and I went to their internet base, and then I looked and I typed in, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna become a professional wrestler, and then DJ Hyde, he hit me back and was like, hey, come down for a tryout. So I said, okay, cool.
Awesome.
So I was trying to figure out, I was like, how much is the tryout? But found out the tryout was free.
Yeah, there you go. Good deal. Yeah, and I've seen DJ Hyde a few times. Good wrestler, for sure. So he's a trainer.
Right.
No way. Okay.
So, I came down there, and DJ was the one that did my tryout. So I was up there, and it was like, man, the tryout was like intense. And it was like, oh, my God, I can't. It's like, I've been pushing, it's like, I've been trying to stop, but I kept pushing.
Yeah.
And DJ was like, he sat down and talked to me, and he was like, hey, this is our rate, and this is what we have to do. So when I came back, because DJ had to go, at the time, it was like in December. That's when I first came in there, was in December, the end of basically the end of December, after Christmas. And then DJ had to go to Japan, so he wasn't coming back until, like, January.
Gotcha, man.
So when I came there, that's when I met Drew Gulak, and Drew Gulak was the head trainer.
No way. Awesome.
So he was up there, he was teaching me. He was down there at South Philly. They had a training facility at South Philly. So, Drew was training me. And then, after that, we came from South Philly to, like, Blackwood, New Jersey.
Okay.
And that's when then Connor came in. And then basically me and Connor was we were like, you might as well call each other brothers of the wrestling.
Yeah.
Because we're still in there. We're still doing our thing. We're still killing it. And, you know, Drew was on us. Drew, DJ. There's a couple of people that came in there. If Drew couldn't do it, you had Rory Gulak in it. And, you know, he helped us out. Black G's, like Matt Tremont, Masada. Stozio.
Wow.
Let's go on and on. And then, like, it was interesting because we did, like, they do seminars. So I was like, I got a chance to meet, the Hurricane, Badass Billy Gunn.
Wow.
So, like, the list go on and on. So it's like, it's not by one person. You get trained by one person. You get trained by many other people. Preacher. Creature is an awesome trainer, right along with Drew and DJ Hyde.
Awesome. I know Preacher. I actually did an interview with him not too long ago for PopBreak.com. I did a little written interview with him talking about the show, man. And they're running a great promotion over there for standalone wrestling. But, I've heard a lot of good things from just his students and stuff like that. Although he said great things about him.
He's definitely awesome. Basically, all these people, if it wasn't for them, it was like, because I was doing my my depression thing, I was like emotional, sad, like I felt like I couldn't achieve what I needed to do and everybody else is like surpassing me and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And it was just like, but wrestling actually saved me for a lot of stuff of going deep down and, or thinking about suicide or something like that. Wrestling actually saved me a lot.
Wow.
And then I had to think, you know, like, I really represent, like, CZW and standalone wrestling to the fullest because with them, they never gave up on me, and they've been pushing me and kept pushing me, and it's like, I give them utmost respect. Where at the times when I was at my lowest, they still had my back and they still helped me out, and I respect them.
That's awesome, man, and we've seen you perform a few times. You know, I've been at both of the standalone wrestling shows. I went with the fam, you know, the siblings and the little cousins. Like, they wanted to meet you, and we got a chance to meet you. They were fans, and oh, we want to be Frankie, and we met, and you were a perfect gentleman, man. You know, we got our pictures with you. You were great with everybody. You know, so I mean, you're a role model, you know, in that aspect too. And we appreciate that, man. You seem like, you know, I never would have guessed those things about your past or anything like that. You seem like such a positive guy. I see you out there, like, supporting the other talent while their matches are going on. Yeah, man. You can see the positive coming out of wrestling in your career.
Yeah, because I was just like, you know, my goal is, like, the new generation of kids that's coming up, and, like, I want them, like, I want to keep them out from doing bad stuff in the streets. If they come in and they see me perform and they see me do whatever I want to do, or not just me, in general, they see the company, they see wrestling. As long as they're in there and they're just having fun and enjoying themselves, not out on the streets doing bad things, then I'm doing a good job, because that's part what I want is to keep the kids from out in the, you know, being out in the streets and doing bad things.
No, dude, that's, and I respect that, man. I super appreciate that. In a way, I feel like that's what it's all about, you know, not just like the in the ring stuff, which we'll definitely talk about, but just like kind of being a role model and all the like charity and stuff that's involved. You know, with standalone, they did the fundraiser for the high school that it was in. You know, that's what it's all about, man. And you're definitely a big part of that. And like I said, you were a perfect gentleman when we met you, and we super appreciate everything you do, man.
Thank you. That means a whole lot to me.
So, like I said, I've seen you a few times. I think I saw you in the one hardcore match at Liftoff. That was pretty awesome. Really, some really big spots in that, where that was really cool. Then we saw you at Momentum. Yeah, that was great, man. How would you, for those who haven't seen Frankie Picard yet, how would you describe your style? And then just tell us like about your finishing moves and your signatures for those who have never seen you before. Tell us about Frankie Picard.
My style is like, I look at it this way, is even though that I never respected my father, he was a military, he was in the Navy, he also did boxing and everything. So, you know, besides the negative things that he did, I also kind of got some of his positive things. So I look at myself like a strong style.
Nice.
A strong style, and it fits me very well, because it's why I am definitely the underdog.
Yeah.
I sit there, like, my role model is Rocky, you know, Rocky Balboa.
Nice.
And like all the stuff that he's been through, is like, even though it was a movie, but I can relate to the stuff that he did, and like me is like far as that. That's how I am. So I use that as like the energy of the fans that's behind me and they support me. I use their energy and I use their strength. So it's like when I'm in the ring, it's not just me in the ring. It's me and 350 people or even more people come there. I'm representing everybody else that's in that room.
Awesome, man. Yeah, and I get that sense too. So you like Rocky? I gotta ask you this, man. Did you ever run the steps, do the Rocky thing?
Oh yeah, I do that all the time.
That's awesome. That's right, man.
Well, I ran the whole parkway because sometimes I was like stopping and walking. I was like, I'm going to make it to the steps, but I'm just going to stop for a minute.
Yeah, that's really awesome, man. I wanted to ask you, of course, dude. I mean, to me, this is so cool. You've held the gold on more than one occasion. You've come a long way. That's just to be a champion. That's legit. That's so cool. I wanted to ask you, what's it like to hold the gold, and what does it mean to you to be a champion?
Well, as far as like me, like having the gold is, it makes me feel like I achieved something. It makes me feel like that I done took a first step. And ready to move on to the next step and the next step. So it makes me feel like that I did something good, and how strong and how long it took for me to work and bust my ass to get to where I need to be. As far as like what it's like being a champion, it actually is a good feeling, because you're not just representing the company, but you're also representing the fans. So
I like that. I like that.
His name is like, you're the president now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the president of the United States, and you have a lot of people that is looking up to you now, and you have to have that positive and represent what it means to be a champion.
Yeah, dude. And you're the guy, you know, you're the man. You're you know, you have that belt, like legit belt, like you know, my father-in-law and me, we're walking around the events with our, you know, our title belts and all that, and the kids go nuts, and you know, you let them hold the belts and all that. But you're legit, man. You're the you know what I'm saying? You've held the gold. You're the guy.
It's a wonderful feeling. It's just amazing, like certain steps that you have to achieve. It's just the same way of you going to middle school, but you're graduating from middle school to high school, then you graduate from there to college and picking up a trade. So it's like, it's nothing different, but it's still in that same category.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, when you win in a bell, you know, even if it's a TV bell, or a TV title, or if it's the cruiserweight title, or the heavyweight title, or the Medal of Valor, or anything, it just certain steps to achieve and have the people look up to you. Is basically you're doing your job and you're doing your part, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's just got to give you a ton of confidence and a ton of pride just being a champion. And speaking of which, there's a lot going on, obviously, at Breakout, you know, for Boardwalk Beatdown. Man, I am stoked for this event. It's going to be awesome.
All right.
Can you tell us about your match, or are we not supposed to know yet? Is there any, are we going to see what's going to happen over here at Boardwalk Beatdown? You know, we'll obviously talk about the Beatdown Academy, which I'm super excited about. That's going to be cool. But as far as your match is concerned, what's brewing, or can you tell us yet?
I don't think anything. How I look at it is like, I like a surprise.
Me too.
I like not knowing. It's I don't know what it is, but it's like giving me that adrenaline of like you don't know what to expect.
I get that,
so,
man.
It's like the way of life, you know. You don't know what to expect, but my grandma always taught me growing up is to make things that's impossible possible. So that's how I look at things. If I don't know my match or my opponent, then it's good enough for me.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to be up next for you, man. That's crazy. You know, you get there, it could be a small guy, a big guy. Who knows, you know? That's pretty exciting.
You know, I just came here to, like, try and go different places, have people see my face, make you know me in a hardcore match, me facing Johnny Silver, and it's just like, the list go on and on. So it's like, I don't know what to expect. So I hope that's the reason why every single day I always keep my body up to par.
Absolutely, man. Hey, you know, you're talking about your grandma a lot and how it all kind of started there. Did she ever get to see you wrestle?
Huh?
Did your grandma ever get to see you wrestle?
No. Grandmother, she passed on Thanksgiving night, like 8 years ago.
No
she
way.
She never got a chance. Yeah, she never got a chance to see me wrestle. But my grandfather got a chance to see. He came to, like, three of my shows.
Cool.
And he saw me wrestle. And, like, every time, so on, I come and visit my grandfather. He was like, "Do you have any matches on your phone that I like to see?"
Yeah, so he's into it. That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Good for you. Speaking about Boardwalk Beatdown, man, and I'm excited to see your match and who you're going to face. So one thing early on they had mentioned that and this whole event is going to be like a wrestling paradise, from the convention to the tournaments to the actual live event. There is going to be a video game tournament. There's going to be meet and greets with superstars, meet and greets with the whole, you know, Saw roster. And the Beatdown Academy, I learned you're running this one, where you can learn how to do your own promos and learn wrestling holds. And, dude, that, I mean, just for me and my friends, that's going to be, you know, awesome, man. I mean, that's like, we're so excited for that part of the event, man. Tell us about that, man. Are you going to help people do promos? Are you going to show them some holds? How's this going to happen, man?
You're living an experience of, like, you come in there, and it basically is like what you get the chance to feel what other wrestlers feels like when they're training and when they're working out, and as the stuff that they do behind, you know, closed doors. So it basically is like you're living your dream of being that. Like, a lot of people are like, "Hey, I want to be a wrestler," and, you know, these are the steps that you have to take to get to the top and become who you want to be. And who knows? You probably might want to become a wrestler. You probably want to go out there and train. Like, oh, well, that's simple enough. And why don't I go out there and train to become a wrestler? So it's like so many different opportunities. Going to training all the time at CZW, Preacher and talk to DJ and putting me out as trainer assistant. So every time if they're not there, I'll come out and help out and I'll train. And the same knowledge that was brought to me from Drew Gulak to DJ High to Preacher, I still give them the same categories what they gave me. So when we go to the Beatdown Academy, you get to see certain stuff that was taught to me, and then I can, you know, transition to y'all, so y'all can understand where all the wrestlers was going through in life.
That's so cool, man. And what would you say for someone, like, I have no interest, like, I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person. I have no interest in, like, acting. Like, I'm a drummer, so I'm used to, like, performing in that way and, you know, playing musically and you know, adding elements to my visuals and stick tricks and all that kind of stuff. But for someone like me, you know, who just, you know, just for fun, I if someone threw a microphone in front of me and said, "Cut a promo," I'd be like, you know, I wouldn't know where to go or how to be, you know, that's not my wheelhouse. What's advice you would give someone who's trying to cut a promo or you're trying to instill confidence in someone? Where would you go with that? Like, what would you say to someone trying to cut a promo for the first time?
I would say just to be yourself. It's the same way of, like, how you talking to your friends or talking to the word, like, I'll use an example. Now, I know a lot of people that grow up and they was in school, and then, like, people want to start trouble and they want to start fights, and then, like, you don't want nobody to back you down. So you have this big speech. You want to come at me? You want to face me? Come fight me. you're being yourself. Yeah. You're already doing promos yourself without even knowing it because you're being yourself. But when you're behind the, when you're like on the camera and stuff, it's like, what should I say? What should I do? You have to think that you, your own self. That's the problem with people today because they don't know who they really are.
I get that, man. That's good stuff. Yeah, like, I never looked at it that way. That's really good stuff. Like, that part of you is inside you, you know? You just got to kind of unleash it into that performance.
Right.
That's so
cool. So, like, my idea is, like, when I'm in the ring, when I'm in the ring and the bell rings, I think of my father. I think of him. And, you know, everybody's like, man, he's going in. He's tearing them apart. Man, he done destroyed them. It's basically all the emotion keeps inside. You're just being yourself. That's all you're doing. And by you being yourself, then you have to look at it in a different way. You got to look at The Rock. I mean, Rocky Balboa. And Rocky Balboa is in the Hall of Fame of boxing.
Yeah. And
he's not even the boxer in real life.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. Right. But I get it. Yeah. Right. That's crazy, man. Hey, that's good. That's really good stuff, man. I never thought of it. There's definitely that emotional aspect. So, Frankie, man, you know, I'm going to be there podcasting all day. You know, I know you'll be busy, but you're more than welcome to stop by the table for a few minutes. We'll chat. I know you'll be busy all day. If not, no worries. But we're definitely going to come see you at the Beatdown Academy, and you can show me how to cut a promo. I warn you, it's not going to be good. But if you smell... No, I'm just kidding. But
everything is going to be amazing. And that place, that area is going to probably... Like, you probably might need more stands under the bridge to keep everybody intact.
It's good. Dude, it's going to be crazy. Like I said, it's going to be a wrestling paradise, man. And don't forget, you know, we're going to see a lot of up-and-comers too, man. Speaking of which, man, you know, before I let you go, I got to ask you this, bro, and I appreciate your time. What does the future hold for Frankie Picard? And, you know, Frankie, I think I saw on Facebook and Instagram a picture of you at a WWE live event, man, you know, kind of, I don't know if it was MSG or something like that, but there was something there I saw, and I was just like, is that the ultimate goal for Frankie Picard, man? What does the future hold? What are the goals? What are the dreams?
Well, so I look at it this way. I look at it as like wherever I go, the fans will take me. And the fans want me there, the fans can see, will have to carry me there. It's basically like if you're in Woodstock and you're in that mosh pit and you're jumping off the stage and they're carrying you all the way to the back.
Yeah.
That's how I am. Like, I'm letting the fans carry me. I want the fans to carry me to put me where I need to be. Because like I said before, I'm not just representing myself and my family, but I'm also representing everybody around the world. Everybody that's a Frankie Picard fan, everybody that wants to become a wrestler, everybody that likes what I do and what I'm achieving, all that into one, it will carry me into the future of wherever I want to be. Even if it's, you know, WWE or Impact or ROH, either way, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. Like, I'm not leaving the wrestling industry. I'm still going to be in the mid-motion of that wave in the water.
Really well said, man. Really well said. And we'll be watching you in between those ropes. I'm a fan. You know, the family's behind you, man. We'll watch you wherever you go. Dude, all the best of luck to you. And we're excited to see you, of course, August 25th. Boardwalk Beatdown, we got Breakout, we got the convention, we got the Beatdown Academy with Frankie Picard himself. Go meet this guy. I met him. He's a perfect gentleman, a man of the people, as you hear right now. And you know, when you never know what the future holds, Frankie. Best of luck to you, and I appreciate your time. Thanks for a few minutes, bro.
Thank you. And thank you for having me, too.
Yeah, dude. Hey, maybe we'll do it again at Boardwalk Beatdown, man. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much, man.
All right, you have a nice day.
You too. Peace. Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Cruz, and of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.